Hey, movie lovers, it's Maria.
And it's Sam.
Welcome to Unsolicited Flick Picks.
Movie reviews no one asked for. Hey!
This week, we indulged in a very sexy action movie, the original. The Fast and The Furious.
The franchise spans 3 decades, has 8 movies, 1 spinoff, and has been greenlit for 2 more movies.
What?
2 more.
Oh my God.
There's gonna be 10 in a few years. It is also one of Universal's most successful franchises, so much that it even has a thrill ride at Universal Studios. And I do know this firsthand because I was there. Yeah, before you couldn't go anywhere, I was there. This ride had just come out, and we literally just shrugged and got in line. Line wasn't long, thinking it would just be fun. I mean, like, one of my favorite rides from Universal Studios is the Transformers ride, and I don't care about the Transformers movies at all.
Yeah.
It was just the best ride. So, you know, we had an open mind, so we tried it. So, as with a lot of the amusement park rides, especially Universal, the line is like an interactive part of the ride.
Oh, cool.
The Harry Potter ones, the line is Hogwarts.
Yeah. Oh,
so you
so
almost
cool.
Like, you almost want to be in line for a long time.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah, there's one that's Hogwarts, and then the other one is like the bank. The Gringotts Bank.
Yes.
Yeah, it's super, super cool. And so with this one, you start out, like, in their, like, shop.
Cool.
Shop.
Yeah.
So there's, like, cars everywhere. It's, like, supposed to be cool if you like that sort of thing. And then the ride, you're basically in a trolley car. And you're on a track that does not exceed 5 feet high. There's, like, 3D screens on either side of you. And, like, the gist is that you're going to a party with the family.
Oh, okay.
You know, the family. You'll hear
you're not racing down a speedway.
No, so you're like on your way to the party and then some sort of like action sequence plays out. But I think it's Ludacris that's getting you to this party.
Ja Rule.
No, Ludacris.
Oh.
He's in the other ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
they
okay.
just swapped out their rappers after the second movie. And so when I tell you this, you must believe me, this ride was neither fast nor furious.
What?
I don't even think that we broke 40 kilometers an hour. They really like wanted the 3D screens to do the heavy lifting. It was just so bad. So we just got off and went to Harry Potter again.
That
Much
is
better.
So disappointing.
Yes. So I digress. This might make me a little bit biased towards these movies because of my disappointment. But here we go. We're going to start with number one. Maybe this will spawn a series in which we watch all of them. Because I would really like to get to a point where we watch the ones that have Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it. Because he's just delightful.
Oh.
I love him.
Oh, so he takes Vin Diesel's place. I
just mean in
like
a... He doesn't take Paul Walker's place, but like...
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. I think Vin Diesel's in all of them.
Oh, so Vin Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Two bald dudes. Oh my God.
Two bald action dudes.
Okay, so this movie like rated okay in the general world. IMDb rated it 6.8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes 53%, but the audience thought it was a 74%. The budget was $38 million, and on opening weekend in the USA, it grossed $40
million. Wow.
Yeah. So it made its money back anyway. But the franchise, The Fast and the Furious, has reportedly brought in more than $6 billion worldwide.
That is insane.
That's a lot of money for cars and...
Yeah. There's just an audience for everything, I suppose.
I was 10 years old when this movie came out, and I definitely remember the series growing up. they were movies I really never got into, but like my older brother would rent and I would catch clips of, you know, thinking, ooh, I shouldn't be watching this. It's a little too PG.
I've seen two a number of times, and I definitely remember seeing Tokyo Drift in theaters, not really thinking that it was like terrible.
Tokyo Drift. Yes. Okay. So 2001.
The cast.
Yes. The cast. The cast. Paul Walker.
Oh, R.I.P.
I think he was my first heartthrob.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to agree. Probably not my first, but definitely one of them.
Yeah. So he's the main character, the lead, Brian. Vin Diesel plays Dominic Toretto, and Michelle Rodriguez, beautiful Michelle Rodriguez, plays Letty, one of Dominic's closest allies, I guess. And Ja Rule is in this movie
in passing,
but has a heavy influence in the soundtrack.
Yes, we will get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and RJ De Vera I don't know who that is.
I think
he's one of the trans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So setting the scene, we're at a shipping yard and we see a shipping container that is full of 19-inch Panasonic TVs. Not even flat screens. The big old ones. The truck is all set and ready to go. It's on the road. And some bandits come, and their weapon of choice? A harpoon!
Yeah. I miss the harpoon. Before we even meet any of these characters, we know this movie is all about the need for speed. Mm-hmm. It's a car chase. We've got a transfer truck. We've got a bridge. We've got some crotch rockets. I'm already thinking maybe this movie's a little too fast and too furious for my liking.
If you need to take a break and catch your breath, by all means.
Yeah, I took many breaks. I definitely watched this movie in a few sittings. And so the next scene after this car chase is this ridiculously souped up bright green car. The massive spoiler appears on a racetrack, and a cutie driving the car is wearing Converse sneakers. This is a surprising choice for a racer, I think, and automatically I'm interested.
So we meet Paul Walker, such a handsome guy, R.I.P. I think this is a big reason why people look at the series so fondly is because of Paul Walker. He was just great. But I fully don't understand what he was doing in the scene. Because he ends up getting angry, like, was he, like, not doing the trick right or something? I don't know. I couldn't tell you what car thing he was trying to do.
He was just being furious.
Yeah.
So the green car isn't the only foolishly souped up car in town. A pack of four shady characters roll up outside the bar where the cutie from the green car is enjoying a crustless tuna fish sandwich.
Such a wholesome order.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
So then we have two alpha males in the bar. So Paul Walker and another dude have a stare down, and you just know there is beef here. I'm thinking it likely has something to do with the pretty female bartender who served the tuna fish sandwich to Paul Walker, and then a fist fight ensues.
I love that the guy was trying to be intimidating, but then he goes, go to so-and-so burger place. You could get yourself a double cheese with fries for $2.95. And then he says the F slur, which is not okay. So if you subtract that, that's just like, it's a very fun ad, maybe, that this burger place should do.
So the two alpha males in the bar are Paul Walker's character and Dominic Toretto.
Right.
Right? Dominic Toretto's like the head of this team of racers. And it's his sister who works at the bar who was serving Paul Walker's character, Brian. And so they have this stare down because Brian's obviously into the bartender and Dom's like, yo, that's my sister.
Right.
So somehow a fist fight breaks out and Dom, who is a big racer in town, calls up Brian's new boss who works at the like the auto parts store.
Right.
Ed is like, you'll get rid of that Brian kid. He's right. no good. So Brian then goes to work and his boss is like, yo, I got a call from Dominic Toretto. And Brian's like, what'd he say? And his boss goes, he wants you fired.
It's like, I'm there in this scene.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so this all makes sense now. Yeah. So then Brian's mad. He wants to race. So he needs Nos.
Nos! Okay. Nos is nitrous oxide, but I am very concerned that I had this as an energy drink once before. Like, I am sure I bought a bottle that looked exactly like those Nos cans.
Yep.
It was called Nos. It kept me up all night long. I did not sleep. So was I drinking car fuel?
You were not. That is just a little branding genius. Because the people that watch these movies drink a lot of energy drinks, I assume.
Well, yeah, but so does that mean Nos from the movie is not a real thing?
It is, I think. We're going to have to do some research on that. Mm. I think it's because it's like, NOS is like what makes the cars go fast.
You all know I get it, but like it looked exactly like that would be.
I don't think anything that goes into a car should taste good. So that's really, what do they call that? Diversifying your portfolio. They make things that. That makes cars go fast and people go fast. Okay, so what is next?
We have our first street race scene, and Brian wagers his car to be let into the race. So there was like a $2,000 buy-in, but Brian doesn't have any money, so he wagers his pink slip, his car.
Okay.
And I'm just like, the race is impossibly fast.
It's too fast. It stressed me out so much. It's not that I want to see one of these meatheads crash, but I think it just inspires people to be far too reckless. And I am personally a very careful driver. I've never even had a speeding ticket.
You've never had a speeding ticket? Oh, I've had so many.
I'm too afraid.
Okay. So the racers are getting ready to race, and they just happen to be four males. And Ja Rule, who is one of the racers, is promised a threesome if he wins. Yes. And when Brian passes him during the race, he goes, "No, Monica!" As if he's not going to get his threesome anymore.
They're really tapping into all the male fantasies here. Like, men, really, please write into us and tell me, does this all really do it for you?
So curious. So Dominic wins the race. Dom wins the race and he gets Paul's, and he gets Brian's car. But it's toasted because Brian used too much power or something and he messed up his car.
Too much NOS.
And he still lost the race.
And then I was laughing at like all the car talk. Dom's like, You fried your pistons, and all the crowd goes, oh! Like, they go nuts. Like, car people are such a breed.
Such a breed.
And could you imagine living close to where they do these races? Like, I just imagine me at 9 p.m. with my robe and my slippers on, doing my nightly skincare regimen, and being like, shut up! So loud.
Okay. And so loud that there's a reason why the Popo try and shut them down all the time. So the 5-0 is alerted to the street race. And then, like, in unison, hundreds, maybe not hundreds, but, like, at least 100 cars all just pull out onto the street and, like, peace on out of there so that they don't get caught.
Like, they've done this before.
Well, yeah. Like, the way they run these street races is they have... They're tapped into the police
scanner or the like the radio or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So they know where the cops are at all time. Anyway, the cops show up and Dominic is being chased by a cop and Brian comes to his rescue. And then they get cornered by a team of Asian bikers. And at that moment, we're given zero explanation other than a business deal went south. And Dom may have slept with this guy's sister.
Mm.
but they
keep it in your pants, Dom.
Keep it in your pants.
For people that were trying to be very intimidating, they were wearing a lot of like red leather and snakeskin pants. I was not as intimidated as they probably intended.
The snakeskin pants. Yeah. I don't know where they got those balls, no. But they just full on blow up Brian's car.
Yeah. Totally normal reaction.
Well, and then Brian and Dom are kind of cool about it. But in the next scene, it turns out he's so cool about it because it ain't his car. Brian is an undercover cop.
He's a cop.
He's a cop. Po-po, a pig. I knew those Converse sneakers were suspect. Yeah.
He was definitely too pretty to be from the mean street.
Yeah.
So Don makes a deal with this undercover cop to do car stuff. It's as specific as I'm able to be. They do car stuff. And Dom kind of takes Brian under his wing. Dom's very serious about family stuff. He's like kind of a traditional guy. They do barbecues and they say grace and all that good stuff. There's a lot of tension between Brian and that guy that started the fist fight at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Whose name is Vince. And they're basically fighting over Dom's sister, who was the bartender, the waitress.
Yes.
And who Brian is starting to cozy on up to.
Mm-hmm.
Vince has some major anger issues. I can't stand him. I could not stand him the whole time. He was awful.
He was awful. And he wore, like, cut-off sleeves, like, mesh tank tops.
Yes.
It's really bad.
Not a good dude. So Brian's at risk of getting found out, but he's been noticing some shady stuff with some of the other racers. This guy Hector, he's kind of like trying to take down this whole racing people. And there's definitely some stuff like going on with Johnny Tran's gang, the snakeskin pants.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Brian continues to go all undercover and stuff and continues to gain favor with Dom and the gang. They bond over this really cool engine that Dom has. Dom does this monologue about his father dying in a race car crash. But there's another race car dad.
Oh, yeah.
Mean Girls 2 callback.
That's right.
But during his monologue with a straight face, he says, "I live my life a quarter mile at a time." I bet the writer's room high-fived and all went home early that day. Call it a day, boys. We got ourselves a deep car-related mantra that an emotionally rich co-star can say. Next, we see another truck that gets hijacked, and meanwhile, the cops swarm Johnny Tran's whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
They like take them down. It's like SWAT style. But the cops really want to take down Dom's crew. I'm still like not quite sure why. I don't know what illegal activity they do other than racing. But anyway, maybe it's a little unclear. Maybe that's me not paying attention. But Brian tries to get it out of Dom what exactly he does to afford all of, like, the fancy cars and everything. Because he's obviously not getting it doing just regular tune-ups and all that. And he wants in. Brian wants in. And instead of, you know, explaining like a normal person, they gotta race about it. Then they'll talk. Turns out it was Dom and the crew with the harpoons. I can't figure out if that was supposed to be like a big reveal or not, that it was them the whole time, or if we as the audience were supposed to have figured that out.
Is this when they went and stole those three Honda Civics? Those three black cars in the middle of the night, like they left the race?
Yes. But no, they were with a truck. This is like towards the end.
Towards the end, yeah.
Yeah, this is like when the three of them are like trying to get that giant transfer truck.
But right before, Or was this after? A part? Well, the part with Jesse, like the...
Oh, yes. He did a race and lost.
He did a race and lost and then drove away with his little white Jetta. But during that race, like that race was at nighttime, wasn't it? And like Dom took off in the middle of the night and they went and like stole back the three Honda Civics.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that.
It's okay. There wasn't a whole lot of continuity between like throughout the whole cop investigation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it was more about the, Fast and the Furious racing than the actual crime and illegal activity.
Logic? No.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was supposed to be like a big reveal because Johnny Tran's crew like always wore bike helmets because they had bikes and like the hijackers also were wearing biker helmets. So I think it was supposed to be a reveal that just flew right over my head.
Oh, they were trying to imitate Johnny Tran's crew?
I think it was like a red herring. These hijackers are wearing bike helmets. Like,
gotcha.
You know who also wears bike helmets? Anyway, I would be lying if I said I didn't take a couple breaks around this part to watch some TikToks. My attention span can only handle so much chaos, can only handle so much fast and so much fury.
I also watched this movie in a few sittings.
Yeah. So Vince, the angry guy, if you recall, is like stuck on this truck that they were trying to hijack. His like arm is all bloody and stuff. Dom keeps trying to help him and he keeps getting shot by the truck driver. Like, do all truck drivers just carry giant shotguns? I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's America, bitch.
America. So Brian catches up with them and he bravely saves Vince from the truck and he's like bleeding out. He must have gotten shot because he was like bleeding out. And cop Brian comes out and he whips out his foot bone, pulls up the antenna, and calls it in, revealing that he's a cop in the process. Dom and crew are mad. They're betrayed.
They can't believe it.
The two have it out. They start to, you know, fight about it. But Johnny Tran's crew comes in, a drive-by shooting, and it kills one of Dom's friends, the little guy.
Jesse.
Little Jesse. So now Brian and Dom can be on the same side. One is on the side of the law and one is on the side of getting revenge. So they hunt down Johnny and crew and I don't know, I guess they get them and then it's just Dom and Brian that are like racing each other. I don't know.
I also got lost in the whole... Too much action. It was too fast for me. But they have this little moment on the street. They're driving two separate cars and Dom looks over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's like, I used to race here when I was 14 years old or something.
Oh.
And then they gun it.
And like the whole time they're just staring into each other's eyes instead of watching the road. And so Dom hits a truck, flips, survives, and you see them both get out, and he's like, and Dom is fine, and you hear the sirens in the background, and Brian just lets him go. He gives him the car that he was driving, because he owed him a car.
He owed him a car.
Because the green one gets blown up.
At the very first, yes, it's very full circle, so this is like the last scene where they've been through some shit together. And the cops are finally going to zero in on Dom and Brian, who's a cop, not a very good one, apparently, but just like lets Dom go because they've obviously bonded and credits.
All right. So, all right, we did it. While I have never had the urge in my life to be fast or furious. I can definitely see a large portion of the population being really into this.
Mm-hmm.
I am not fast and furious. I am slow and reasonable.
Aww. You know what? We do.
Yeah. I remember being thrilled when I got to go on a Segway for the first time. That goes like 10 kilometers an hour, and you can just jump off anytime you don't want. And they make you wear knee pads, elbow pads, and a helmet.
No.
So, side story. Trevor and I were in the Cayman Islands, and we went on a Segway tour. It was, like, us and a bunch of, like, 60-year-olds. And they took us down to a beach, and it was just, like, full of hot people. Like, people in, like, bikinis and swimsuits and, like, tanning. And in rolls, like, this Segway tour that we're on. And I've never felt like a bigger nerd in my whole life. I was humiliated. It was like if the cheerleaders and the football players were having a party and like the debate team or like the mathletes showed up. So, yeah, I can't say I relate to fast cars.
Meh. Oh my God.
All right, let's get into some categories.
Okay.
Characters and actors. There are a lot of like character archetypes here. We have Michelle Rodriguez as angry tank top. That is her forte. Vince, the angry guy who probably terrifies all of his girlfriends. And
oh yeah, he's had some traumas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate that guy. And as much as I make fun of him, Vin Diesel's character does seem pretty well-rounded. He has, like, a lot of values and morals, and, yeah, like, his backstory is very, like, cheesy, and it, with his dad dying, that, like, clearly drives his motivations.
Drives?
Yeah. But I like the dude. The point is that he's not a one-dimensional character.
Yeah, no. I came to, like, have a little heartstring pulled with him. Yeah.
Because he's overall a good dude. And I'm dying. I looked up what Vin Diesel's real name was just because I was like, there's no way that that's his real name. It's just that there's no way. His real name is, is Mark Sinclair. So, yeah, I'm laughing at him, but like, he's rich and famous, so I'm sure he's not at all embarrassed by his name.
That's not even an embarrassing name, Mark Sinclair.
No, but when I looked it up, it was like, it said Mark Sinclair, and then a picture of him, and it's like it made him look nerdier. Yeah. I don't know. It was just funny.
No Vin Diesel.
No Vin Diesel. And Paul Walker, he's also very great. He's not like super one-dimensional. He's not like a fully developed character yet, but he's not like just one-dimensional. We just don't really know a lot about him, I guess.
Yeah,
he does have some kind of varying motivations because he kind of has to be a good cop, but he's kind of formed a bond with these racers. So
yeah, he's definitely got that like bad boy slant to him. Like, he's a cop, but he's very allured by the racer world.
Yeah.
And also he's a hipster because he wears Converse sneakers.
He's a cool dude. And I could tell you that without watching any of the other movies, like, and I have just seen two, that I will definitely be extremely emotional and brought to tears if I were to watch, like, his final scene.
Oh,
because you instantly pick up on the chemistry between Ryan and Dom. It's a real bromance. And Vin and Paul have great on-screen chemistry.
Yeah.
So.
Such a tragedy.
On a lighter note, let's talk about the soundtrack. Because for 2001, it was kind of fire. Ja Rule was in this, and he fits perfectly into this universe. And his record label, Murder, Inc., does the soundtrack, so he's all over that. And don't you love that, like, in all of Ja Rule's old songs, he would always just say, Murder, Inc.?
Ja Rule's voice is insane. I love it.
Oh, I know. It's so good. And where there's Ja Rule, you know there's Ashanti.
Ah.
She's great. Then there's also DMX, and there's some Limp Bizkit. There's actually a DMX Limp Bizkit collab.
Oh.
Yeah, very interesting. I did not give a listen to the whole soundtrack, but I definitely heard it throughout.
Well, you'll have to, like, download it, take it into your car, go for a fast drive with the windows down, yeah, and give it a listen.
That does not sound enjoyable. And I wouldn't want to, like, I can't just, like, listen to that on Spotify. I would have to go find a desktop computer, and I would have to burn the CD. I'd have to
download it on Kazaa.
Fire up Napster.
If you're under the age of 23, yeah, and listening to this, we used to have to download music illegally from the internet, from pirates. So we didn't even know where it came from.
Who knows? And get all sorts of viruses.
Yeah. And then burn it onto a CD.
And then burn it.
And then take Sharpie and write on the CD
Maria's Cool Jams
for the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier for you. One other thing about the soundtrack that I have to mention is that there's a lot of, like, I guess the score, if you... It seems a little bit too fancy to call the background music to this movie the score. But it has a lot of, like, quintessential early 2000s electronic music, like that kind of lasery sound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how else to describe it, but it's just, like, very 2000s. This might sum it up perfect for some that would understand this. The, like, background music, it reminds me of the DVD main screen. Like, if you put in a DVD and it's on the main screen of, like, the title where it says, like, play, whatever, all the other categories, it's, like, very that. And it's so hard to explain, but that's, like, where my head goes.
That's crazy.
Anyway, appreciate.
Appreciate. It's a feeling.
Yeah.
We only listened to that start DVD screen on repeat. Like, you'd listen to it on repeat for hours and hours on end because you wouldn't turn your DVD player off. But we only had that experience for such a short period of time between, like, VHS and streaming.
Like Netflix, yeah. Like, it just reminds me of being at, like, a sleepover. And, like, we would watch a DVD and then everyone would fall asleep. And then just the DVD main screen would be on over and over again.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it really brought me back. It took me somewhere. So, speaking of taking it back, early 2000s, the fashion in this movie, it's definitely gotten to a point where it's a lot of that stuff has become fashionable again.
Yes.
A lot of the main characters, a lot of the men specifically, just stuck with, like, a plain black or plain white t-shirt, which is always a great look.
Mm-hmm.
Plain white t-shirt is a great look for a guy. Timeless, can't go wrong. The girls had, like, a lot of, like, short mini skirts, a lot of, like, midriffs out, and, like, very strappy backless tops and teeny tiny tops. Very, like, 2000s. And then, like, the hair and makeup is all, like, very simple. You didn't see, like, a ton of kind of over the top. Actually, like, as far as, like, movie fashion goes, it's really good because it doesn't, like, stick out like a sore thumb.
No.
When we looked at Mean Girls, everything just was so over the top and, like, unrealistic that it kind of took you out of it at some parts, but this didn't have that at all.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You were never distracted by the fact that, like, one of them was wearing something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Except you picked up on something.
Oh, there was one, like, baby blue Von Dutch hat. I think worn by Dom. I'm not sure. But it just really brings me back to a very specific point in time. A time where I spent a lot of time hanging out at the mall, dyeing my hair, wearing skater shoes.
Yeah.
That whole Von Dutch brand and, like, the Dickies brand
was
a whole vibe.
Yeah.
That I think could be connected to this whole franchise.
So that leads us to our overall thoughts. These movies cater to a very specific demographic. course, there are people that are like all about this. Like, there's a reason why this franchise has made billions of dollars. I just can't quite with the like cheesy high stakes and like the obsession over cars. And like, I drive the most sensible, boring car and I do not speed. So this is all foreign to me. And maybe that's the point. Maybe this is made so that sensible, boring people like me can enjoy a bit of danger. But overall, it's just not for me.
Just not
for me. I didn't hate it. I would have to say I give this a 5 out of 10. I would give this 5 tuna fish sandwiches with the crust cut off.
I also didn't hate it. Still a no, though. Mm-hmm. I would say the eye candy was on point. Indeed. The cars were ridiculous and stupid looking, in my opinion. But there was a decent story throughout. I'm going to give it 4 super turbo cans of NOS out of 10.
Ooh. I think this is probably the least offensive of all of the movies. So if we do choose to rate all of them, it's all downhill from here, baby. So next week we have a very special episode coming for you. It is quite literally, I would say, the worst movie of our lifetime. Next week, we are taking a stab at Cats. I hope all you jellical people enjoy next week's episode.
Oh.
And in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at
Unsolicited Flick Picks Podcast. Tune in next week.
Bye.
Later, lovers.